Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dick White, CEO and General Manager of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. Well, Dick, I'd ask you now to put your future hat on and talk to us about, you know, how you think Metro will look in 5 to 10 years.
Well, right now, our concentration is making sure we can adequately take care of what we have. That's got to be our first focus. Yet at the same time, we have to plan for and sometimes even develop projects that expand the system. And it's a very delicate balance, believe me. But I need to state clearly for the record that our first priority is to make sure that we can take care of the assets that we have. Beyond that, there are lots of different visions that people have for expansion of the system. The one project that's furthest along, of course, is the Metrorail extension out through Tyson's Corner and out through the Dulles Corridor and eventually to the airport in Loudoun County, which will be built in two phases. The Commonwealth of Virginia is the project director for this project. We're working with them in partnership and providing some technical services to them. It's in what is known as the preliminary engineering phase. We're hoping by the end of this calendar year, much of that preliminary engineering work will be done, and the project will begin to take shape in terms of having a sense of what it will cost to construct that project. Right now, the timetable is, if everything stays on target, that I think the earliest that first segment would open up would be 2011, so several years down the road. But that project is furthest along. There are a number of projects that are going on inside of the District of Columbia. Some have even shorter timetables than the Tyson's-Dulles extension. For example, we have some very interesting new bus circulator services that the District of Columbia is going to be putting in. It's going to provide north, south, and east-west circulation in the heart of the city just off of the monument area. The idea is to be able to kind of transport people just off of the monument area. And that's going to be very exciting. We have some good ideas working with the District of Columbia and kind of how to make those bus services look very new and different from the traditional kinds of services that people have seen. And the other one that's closest along is we just broke ground last fall for a very exciting light rail system, you know, with trolley system. And every city used to have one, including Washington, and most of them tore them all up in the 50s and the 60s. Well, it's back to the future all over again. And we're broken ground last fall for a 2.7-mile, six-station extension east of the Anacostia River. And that's going to be very exciting to watch that evolve. It's sort of a small little project, but it can grow into a bigger one. It's close to the new baseball stadium that's going to be built, and I think it's going to be a very important part of a future vision that the District of Columbia has for a lot of extra trolley service in the nation's capital.
Oh, that is exciting. As we're in a post 9/11 world, what are Metro's plans for safety in the future?
Well, we've been doing a lot. The good thing was that this was on our radar screen well in advance of 9/11. We understood our environment. We understood the special challenges that we had here providing service in the nation's capital. So when 9/11 struck, we were well along with implementing necessary programs and protocols for safety and security. We've had the good fortune to get some amount of capital funding to help target harden the system by putting in some security enhancements. We've had a number of vulnerability studies done of us by the federal government to help us understand where our vulnerabilities are. We've kind of looked across the country and the world for best practices in terms of the kinds of things that we can do. Our employees and our customers are the eyes and ears of our system, you know, and we've tried to communicate with them to keep, you know, just be aware of your surroundings, look for anything that appears to be unusual, be on the alert. You know, we encourage people to let us know if something looks a little bit out of the ordinary. But we live in one of the most secure metropolitan areas in the country, one of the strongest coordination of law enforcement at every level of our government. We work inside of that community of interest, but on the other hand, we understand the risks associated with the National Capital Region.
You've talked about overcoming the challenges the system's faced in the last year. What are the lessons you've learned in that process?
Never fall asleep at the switch and never take anything for granted. I mean, when you think things seem to be moving along okay and you're looking around, you're looking for all your vital indicators and you're trying to pay attention to, you know, some of your performance statistics, but things can jump up and sneak up on you. And I think that's what we found happened to us last year, where there were a number of unusual events that took place in a very short period of time that said to us that we needed to look harder And we needed to challenge ourselves more to make sure we were on top of everything that needed to be done. That's a lesson learned. Our business, as I said before, it's a very, we don't take anything for granted. And every day we have to safely transport 1.2 million people from their home and back to their home. And our responsibility is to do it in the safest possible way. And it's a very tall order. And we always have to be on top of our game, making sure we're doing everything that we should be doing.
So much of your business is customer service. And as you think about the improvements, do you focus in on training or organizational structure? I mean, how do you get everything right all the time?
Well, you know, it's the kind of challenge that the people who listen to your show are onto. It's a management challenge. It's a leadership challenge. It runs the continuum of how do you hire, train, and develop people. How do you use the resources that you have, both your financial resources and your human resources and all of your technical resources? And it's that continued focus on, forever focus on process improvement and always looking at the kinds of things you need to be doing. In a big organization like ours, as you might imagine, sometimes we're very slow to respond to issues. You know, sometimes there are things that are going on that could be done better. And sometimes we don't always see them as soon as we should. As managers and leaders of the organization, we have to be even more attentive and vigilant to make sure that the areas of the organization that are working well, we continue to support those areas, we continue to give them the encouragement they need to do their job. And other areas where corrective actions need to be taken, sometimes we have to be a little bit faster in taking those corrective actions.
As I think about your description of your career in the first segment, Dick, it's clear that you spent your entire career serving public broadly defined. What advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service and perhaps even in mass transit?
Well, don't expect to get rich, number one. And number two, it has rewards that I think typically go beyond many other kinds of job rewards. But it can be a very demanding and stressful job environment. For me, there is no more satisfaction than to think that you have some small role to play in improving the quality of life of citizens in our metropolitan area by the important role that our regional transportation system plays. And it does more than just kind of transport people. It has huge effects on land use. It has huge effects on the environment and other issues. And to think that we're a part of that equation is very, very rewarding. And many times I have to remind myself of that as I take the beatings that go on occasion about what happens in our business. And you have to keep on coming back to that. It's not necessarily for everybody, but it does have its extreme rewards. But on the other hand, as a public agency and as a public servant, there is a level of accountability and transparency to the work that we do and the resources that we receive. From taxpayers' dollars and from, you know, money that our customers pay. And there's a level of accountability that we have associated with that. And when things don't go well, people expect that you demonstrate a higher level of accountability. So it's a whole different set of dynamics than I think, than what goes on the, in the private sector side of our business. I've only had the exposure to the public side 30 years at federal, state, and local government. And I made a very good career choice. I'm very, very happy with it. I might have aged a little faster than I would have otherwise, but I love my job.
Well, Dick, that'll have to be our last question. I certainly want to thank you for being with us this morning and squeezing us in your very busy schedule.
Well, thank you, Paul. And if any of our listeners would like to try and learn more about us, we have an outstanding website. I'm sure everybody promotes their website. But if you haven't already, please go take a look at www.metroopensdoors.com. You'll see a lot of great stuff on that website.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, Paul.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dick White, CEO and General Manager of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.